Hello, everyone. Today I'm going to present a protocol that integrates the key features of the info-export protocol and also the P4P protocol. It turns out that the two protocols can be merged very coherently, so it's a pretty pleasant experience. And we end up with a large number of co-authors, which is actually very positive. And we have a pretty broad range of points of view. Next slide, please. So here's an outline of what I'm going to talk about. First, I'm going to introduce some key architecture concepts, so far what we can agree upon. And then I'm going to give a talk about protocol specification, given a limited amount of time I have. So mostly I'll be focusing on giving a couple examples. Hopefully I can illustrate the basic operation of the protocol. I do have a last slide which can compare about the top four, the first four proposals, but unfortunately I'm the first one. So therefore, basically what I plan to do is leave slides as it is, and after the first four talks or even five talks, let's bring up the slide and see if we did it right or wrong. Next slide, please. So let me start by reviewing the basic concept, the basic objective of the auto working group. The objective here really is to provide network information to P2P applications to achieve better peer selection. The auto service should be applicable to a wide range of settings. For example, auto client can be embedded in peers and can also be embedded, for example, inside the trackers. And one thing to remember is the tracker might need to handle a large number of peers. So therefore, the auto service should be able to be scalable to allow us to design not only scalable trackers and also scalable auto servers. Next slide, please. An auto server answers queries from auto clients based on something we call the My Internet view. So what is My Internet view? In My Internet view consists of set of network locations and also auto calls between each pair of network locations for given auto calls type. And so far, it seems that all four first four proposals agree on this one. This is a lot of progress. Actually, I'm pretty happy about that. Even last year, before the P2P working group meeting, and we were still debating about what's the right model. It turns out now we can all agree on that one, and so it's a pretty clean model. Shows that we're really making progress. On your right-hand side is a very simple model of My Internet view. Essentially, I have four locations inside network and two locations outside. The auto clients may not know about this distinction. They may or may not. Next slide, please. So with the My Internet view, and now the auto query response can be specified in a very simple way. So here is the auto query, a very basic one. You specify a set of source network locations on My Internet view, and you specify a set of destination locations on My Internet view. And then you specify network calls type, what it is, and then you give a mode, essentially a granularity metric. You say, okay, I want numerical or I want ordinal, essentially the ranking. Here it's very important for R to be able to support numerical values because that's essential. That's the only one with theoretical foundation. You can prove optimality. You can also prove completeness. Of course, in practice, you might want to use some approximation like a ranking or some other considerations. The response from basic auto queries is very simple. It's numerical values or ranking from given sources to given destinations. So far, I think the first four proposals all agree on this one. Now, in order to design a really scalable system, large scale system, practical system, we need to have other considerations. Next slide, please. Go ahead.
Martin Stimmering, why do we need numerical and ordinal?
Numerical means numbers would be, for example, if for example, ranking means 1, 2, 3, 4, it means 1, 2, 3, 4.
I do know what it means. I'm just asking, why do we need both?
See, what do you mean?
So, because you could say, well, you could just rank it. That's enough. Say,
I could rank it, for example, my first rank, the highest rank guy can be almost as good as the second one, or be 100 times better.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. So next slide, please. So now, really to design large-scale system, and a very important or key architectural issue really is, how do you specify the sets of sources and destinations on network location? It's very important, this issue, for scalability, privacy, and service availability. To give you a sense, let's take the one extreme case. Suppose you only specify the source by IP address, and you specify destination by IP addresses. Then you end up with a lot of combinations, and those combinations of query will hit the auto server. And if you're using a P2P tracker, and P2P tracker will need to handle a lot of queries. Okay, so that's a lot of requests. And then because you have very fine grained information, then you have privacy exposure of very detailed user behavior, and user may not be happy, and also the ISP may not be happy with liability of detailed information. Okay, and also recently we did some analysis, for example, if you do very fine grained information, do the cost measurement, and we can have inference algorithm to discover the detailed topology of network, which may not be desirable. And also because this information can be highly specialized and individualized, essentially the information not reusable. Each time you have to query the auto service. Whenever the service not available, you don't have service. Okay, so next slide, please. To really solve this issue, we introduce two architectural concepts, and our basic one. They are source grouping and descending grouping. A source group is a set of network locations that have similar auto costs to the other network locations. Basically, we don't envision auto as a way to provide extremely fine-grained information, so that, therefore, a lot of places will be very similar in terms of cost to other locations. And then similarly, you're going to have a destination group, which is a set of network locations that have similar auto costs from other network locations, the symmetric part. And let me emphasize that a source or destination location a group may represent a very wide range of possibilities. It can be IP prefix, a point of presence, a type of customers, wireless DSL files, an AS or set of ASs.
So I'm a little bit confused here. Are these groups something that would go in an ALTO query or in an ALTO response?
It will go to both query and response. I'll give you an example.
So for query, it seems like it's a little bit circular. How you find out?
I will show you an example. Okay. The basic one, you don't need that, but otherwise you need that. Next slide, please. So let me just emphasize that the basic concept of aggregation and grouping actually is a very intuitive concept and very important. And actually, you know, people from networking are pretty familiar with it. For example, in the interview in CECM, communication of ECM this year, Van Jepsen, when he was talking about content distributed network, he said, you want to use a hierarchical identifier space so that you can aggregate all the detail as you get farther away. That's important to build a scalable large-scale system. And I found this picture actually to be very pleasant. It illustrates a way to really how you view actually multiple concepts, basic concept here. Okay, so here is a picture. Unfortunately, this picture is by Steinberg in 1976. It's a view of the world by a New Yorker. So I tried very hard last night to adapt this figure from San Francisco, but due to lacking of artistic capability, so we stuck with New York. So here's the New York view. And from New York point of view, you really have a local region. You have a bunch of neighborhoods or landmarks. That's your local view. But if you look far away, they are highly aggregated. For example, look at here. The whole Pacific Ocean is kind of a very narrow strip. And look up top over there. That's China, that's Japan, that's Russia. They can be very large location with a lot of holes, but they should be just tiny nodes because they're so far away you don't care too much. So you need to support these concepts. Next, please. Let me be more specific about the benefits of introducing all these groupings. First, grouping improves scalability. Let's take a look at source group. We have source group, we do the query. Essentially, for example, if you're a tracker, when you do the query, you query it only for a group. You don't query it for individual IP addresses. And even if, then you can reduce the load to the tracker and also reduce load to the auto server. Even if, for example, queries by peer-to-peer client, not because they all share the similar information, you can use cache and you can use peer-to-peer redistribution, for example. And now let's take a look at destination group. It involves a compact representation of auto information. For example, typical, I guess, for a lot of asphalt networks, there are about like 10,000 ASs, you don't care about them. They should be aggregated as a single entity. You don't need to specify, for example, for every source group, you have to re-specify. A set benefit of this one is because typical grouping and cost updating different time scales, because this one actually can build a very scalable system, and you can even update the cost in a higher, faster time scale. For example, if you have 30 groups, and you can update the cost actually in one packet. The second advantage of grouping is it helps with privacy. From peer perspective, you're masquerading the individual peers, and from ISP point of view, you avoid revealing fine-grained network topology by probing learning experiments. Okay, next slide, please. So that's the basic concept. Now let me go to the protocol design. Next slide, please.
5 minutes.
Perfect. So here, let me first start with some key design features. Our protocol essentially is a clean instantiation of the proposed architecture. It matches very well into the existing P4P info export implementation. Our transport is based on HTTP. There are many reasons for this choice. For example, one reason is because there are a lot of available and mature HTTP clients and servers. A lot of P2P clients already have P2P, so HTTP clients inside them. And if you're based on HTTP and your server, auto server, you can just take an HTTP implementation and implement it. Another advantage of this one is scalability, because now we can leverage the existing HTTP caching infrastructure. We can also have flexible implementation strategies. Our coding messaging format is decoupled from HTTP format, so that we can evolve independently, make it possible to use HTTP redistribution, and we can adapt to our transport. Our messaging format at this moment is text, and so that we want, because it's easy to understand and easy to debug. Of course, we're flexible with other encoding schemes. Next slide, please. So now let me drill down a little bit more into the details. So basically, we're going to have three types of very basic queries. I hope now I can answer the question previously asked. First type is get network map or get network identifier. Essentially, the mapping between location and grouping. And then you're going to have get cost map, which defines cost among network locations and source decision groups. Okay, next slide, please. Because we have multiple queries, and to have flexibility and also to have extensibility, we introduce a concept called interface descriptor. An auto response may specify an URI. For example, you can specify get complete network map, complete, and then the auto server will return you a text file, which you can download. Or you can specify, for example, get cost map and complete, you can also get text file, for example. Next slide, please. Let me run through an example so that we can all understand there's no confusion here. The first example is I got auto client embedded in an application tracker. So here's the message flow, which is very simple. The application tracker starts with getting interface descriptor and would get all these common interfaces and with all the configuration parameters. Will tell you how to query all the information. For example, for the complete cost map and complete network map, they're just text files, pre-generated. We'll give you all the flexibility in terms of implementation. And then the application tracker would get network map from a grouping to location, to location to a grouping. So you get a map file, which is a text file, you get it, and you store it, you can use it for a long, long time, and next time if there's another query, very likely this text file is cached somewhere by HTTP caches, and you don't hit the auto server. And then, of course, you can also retrieve the cost map. Again, similarly, you can have the caching behavior. Next slide, please. So here, the application tracker would have auto information, and now you can do all kinds of optimization, you can do peer selection without hitting the auto server. Next slide, please. For some applications, you may not have auto servers. You may not have P2P trackers. Or your P2P tracker does not understand auto yet. Or maybe because actually from our experience, some P2P clients will see a large number of the continuously receiving new peers continuously. So it might be advantageous for you, for example, to have some auto information yourself locally so that you can update your peer selection. Next slide, please. So in this case, the auto client would have embedded, essentially a P2P client would have embedded auto client. The message flow is almost the same. The only difference here is when you see get interface descriptor, you got back, for example, see cost map dash PID one. That means group one, source group one. And for the cost network map, also PID one means that's also the source group one. Then you get two text files. And because typically clients are grouped according to geographically, and it will be cached, and some other clients, for example, local to you when they fetch, most likely they will hit the HTTP cache instead of auto server. Next slide, please. Then the client would have the auto information, and then the client would continue to receive a large number of new peers they would have to continue to handle. For example, get new peers from tracker, new peers from DHT, and new peers from peer exchange. And oftentimes, for example, like for PP Live, you realize like one quarter of peers actually come from direct connect. They are connecting to you, even don't know about them beforehand. Now you can arrange them and you can start to really rearrange the peer positions. Next slide, please. So this is a comparison with what I was talking about. And I don't know if that's meaningful to really compare with other approaches because you have not seen the other three approaches. So basically comparison is in terms of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six attributes. And so far, the bottom one here is auto P4P information export. So we compare with cost mode, source grouping, destination grouping, and encoding technique, and caching, and P2P redistribution. We can see a lot of similarities. People start to really use, for example, the source grouping and destination grouping, but there are also differences, which probably can work together in some other way. How many minutes do I have to take questions? Or we don't take questions?
The time is pretty much up, but if there's one question for clarification, we can do it. But if you want to debate the merits and demerits, we'd rather save that for the overflow session.
Let me ask a question. I think someone asked me if it is clear about how to get the mapping and get the cost. Is that clear now, or still there's a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll be quick.
Okay.
And actually, we talked about this yesterday, Richard.
Sure.
This is a request to the working group chairs. Can we come back to this slide at the end?
Yeah, this is a good slide.
Thank you.